This is Robert Martellacci, publisher of the Mindshare Learning Report, Canada's learning and technology e-magazine. Our March Across Canada spotlight is on Saskatchewan, and our focus is Change Leadership in the 21st Century Special Edition. I'm honored to have joined me this afternoon for a Mindshare Learning Moment, Dr. Michael Fullan, Professor Emeritus of the University of Toronto. Dr. Fullan is a worldwide authority on educational reform with a mandate of helping to achieve the moral purpose for all children learning. Stratosphere was his first foray into focusing on technology. He has a new book, The Principle, Three Keys to Maximizing Impact. At the BET conference in the UK in January, Dr. Fullan released the report, The New Pedagogy Activated by Technology Transforms Classrooms. Thank you for joining me this morning, Dr. Fullan.
Welcome, Robert. And as you know, I happen to be in Saskatchewan, so it's a good, perfect coincidence.
Well, great minds think alike, I take it. So how are they doing in Saskatchewan, by the way, in terms of innovation and change leadership?
Well, I just came in for the day, and there's a lot going on, so I'm not really, I don't consider myself, you know, up to speed on Saskatchewan.
Okay.
There's, you know, a new minister, a new deputy minister. They're pushing for some good new innovative projects. So there seems to be good collaboration between the 28 divisions and the center, but it's kind of a new initiative time. So it's hard to really tell it. There's good action.
Definitely. We've got two of our past national contest winners that hail from Saskatchewan. So there's a lot of good things happening.
Yep.
Well, congratulations on your recent award. Just yesterday, the American Association of Colleges for Teachers in Education awarded the Outstanding Book Award Andy Hargreaves for the monogram Professional Capital, Transforming Teaching in Every School.
Yeah, that's turned out to be a book that hit the mark. It's getting a lot of interest. I was just in Russia. They're using it in Russia. They probably need it on a bigger scale, but they're using it in some of the schools. Japan, we've had contacts with them, and Andy and I are continuing to roll it out, in a sense, an actual implementation. California is another place. So it's really got a lot of action. We were fabulously happy to get the award, the recognition.
That's fantastic. Now, you are prolific in your writing, and what inspires this?
Action, really. I get people say, where do you find the time to write? And that's not the issue normally, is how do you find something specific and interesting to write about? That's really the source. And because we have so many, all of our projects are action-based, they just naturally, here I am in Saskatchewan talking to people, pulling out ideas, getting their reaction, and we do this all the time. So I get lots of ideas from our just the normal workshops, but also the ongoing consultations we have in California, Alberta, Ontario, Queensland, Tasmania, a lot of places that stimulate it. So I get the ideas come naturally from when you do things, and you get a lot of insights from doing them, and then I capture it in succinct words and feed it back to the field.
That's fantastic. Well, you know, in terms of change leadership, a good segue is the Central Peel video that I saw on your website and the wonderful work they're doing there at the grassroots level at the school with that you've collaborated with and the principal and their focus on 21st century learning skills.
Yeah, and there's two. I'm actually going to Peel tomorrow evening to meet with the principals and assistant vice principals. And it's a big system, as you know, 246 schools. So we're seeing things happening at all three levels, I'll call them, the school, and the district, and the state level. But if we just take, in the case of Peel, you get some bubbling up innovations from the schools like Central Peel and W.G. Davis that we filmed. But then at the center, also, you have policies that are like BYOD and other kinds of investments in the infrastructure. So what we have is top-down and bottom-up forces kind of feeding into each other. So it's no longer linear up to down or down to up. It's it's really, you know, dynamic interchange between the bottom and the top, so to speak.
Absolutely. And in terms of the province of Ontario, there's some interesting things developing there. You've worked closely with them over the years, and they did a consultation. They have a new vision statement that's soon to be released, I understand.
I continue to work with the premier, with Kathleen Wynn, and also with the minister, Liz Sandals, and the deputy minister, and the boards of the ministry. So, as you know, there's a minority government. It's hard to say how long, when the next election will be. It might be after the budget, and so that will interrupt things for sure.
Timing is everything, they say.
There is a new vision statement that's been formulated. I'm not sure when it's going to be released, but it's there. And it's an extension of what we've been doing. It's a deepening and a widening, but it's continuity from what we've been doing.
Fascinating. Now, your book, Stratosphere, published a couple of years back by Pearson, was was your first foray into embracing technology in the 21st century?
Good.
And how have things evolved with teacher effectiveness and change leadership at the system level and down to the classroom? Are we making a difference?
Yeah, I was lucky on that one in some ways. I guess what I tried to do is read the tea leaves and then capture something that's about to happen but hasn't yet happened.
Right.
So I did, when I wrote Stratosphere, I had to immerse myself in a whole field I hadn't been familiar with. So I spent several months just reading stuff on technology, on the future, and getting a sense of it, then tying it into what I was seeing on the ground. And that, you know, it predicted that the forces of technology and pedagogy and change knowledge were going to converge, and that the push and pull of change, the push being the boredom of students in school and the pull being the attraction of digital work and new pedagogy. I said that bound to take off because the push and pull dynamics are such that they have to explode in some way. So number one, I got immersed in it. Number two, it fitted with our knowledge of change and pedagogy, as pedagogy is the driver. And then three, we started to see the action, and now I'm part of stimulating it, but I'm also part of learning from it.
Well, that must be really rewarding for you to see the change happening and the impact that you're making, not only provincially, nationally, but internationally.
Yeah, it is great. I mean, you referred to the report at BET, the Education World Forum in January in London, and we launched two related things. One was our big report that Michael Barber and his group commissioned from us. It's called A Rich Seam, How New Pedagogies Find Deep Learnings. Maria Langworth and I sort of mapped out, this is what it looks like. And then the other thing that we announced that week is a new project called New Pedagogies for Deep Learning. It's npdl.org. So okay. npdl.org with Greg Butler and others, where we have recruiting 10 clusters of 100 schools from 10 different countries. So 1,000 schools.
Wow.
And they're all signing. They're in clusters. They have cluster leaders. They're signing on because they're already moving and want to move further in this direction of new pedagogies linked to the deeper learning goals. And we're providing the frame of action, I guess I'll say, in terms of the mechanism, but also in terms of two other things. We're stimulating capacity building out of what they need to be effective, both in change and pedagogy. And then we're also providing some research lens that will enable us to track the progress with them.
Fantastic. Now tell me, in terms of change leadership, what are the faculties of education doing to help make the transition for new teachers in understanding the proper implementation of technology infused with pedagogy?
Yeah, it's a good question. And I was dean of education for 15 years, so I should be in the midst of that. But most of my work is on K-12 in public systems. So I'm not really deeply plugged into the pre-service program.
Right.
But I would say a couple of things. One is, in places like Ontario, we've had the NTIP, which is the New Teacher Induction Program.
Right.
And this is for teachers in their first year and second year. So when you start to spell out what's needed in the first and second year, it automatically pushes back to pre-service because it's part and parcel of that continuum. So I think there are good things happening in the faculties that, as you know, in Ontario, they're finally catching up to the two-year program, which they'll implement in 2015.
Right.
So the more internships in schools, longer periods of time. My favorite direction in some ways has been make the schools innovative and push back into pre-service. That's been my strategy, if you like. So that's bound to happen because schools are really changing, and it's pushing back in a good way to the faculties of education. And then the faculties that are on the move are ones that are going to be in partnership with schools and school districts to co-design the curriculum of include technology, include assessment, include parent involvement, those things that haven't been traditionally part of the teacher education curriculum.
That sounds like a very sound strategy. And well, I always enjoy connecting with you, and your thought leadership is most inspiring as you travel the globe in helping nurture and support student success in the 21st century.
Good. Well, I'm glad to do that. And quickly on the new book, The Principle, really pushes into warning people that the instructional leadership can get too narrow, and that there's a certain tendency in some of the states to make teacher appraisal instructional leadership. the kind of micromanaging that doesn't really add up or work very hard. And what I've done is critique that and offer this alternative: principal as lead learner, principal as system player, principal as change agent. So it's really sharpened for me the agenda of the role of school leadership.
Fantastic. Now, I'm looking forward to hosting you at the Connect 2014 conference, May 8th to 9th in Niagara, where you'll be keynoting, and you've got a wealth of information to share with us, which is fantastic.
Yeah, it keeps getting better because there's so much happening that it's so stimulating. It's fantastic.
Well, it's an exciting time to be in education, and hence here at South by Southwest EDU, I think there's at least 4,000 delegates from all sectors, stakeholders in education, from architects to teachers to technology companies, really interested in collaborating. A lot of social learning seems to be where it's at.
Yeah, if you want to change the group, use the group to change the group. Fantastic. So social capital as a strategy is powerful.
Well, on that note, Dr. Fullan, thank you so much again for your time this afternoon.
Thanks, Robert. Catch up to you later.
That was Dr. Michael Fullan. My name is Robert Martellacci of the Mindshare Learning Report. Be sure to check out www.mindsharelearning.com to get your latest issue of the Mindshare Learning Report. And until next time, keep the learning curve steep.